listened to the Drew Marshall Show before?
George Bush is the Antichrist. Honest to God.
You think George Bush is the Antichrist?
Yes.
Okay, so George Bush is the Antichrist because he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. He's fooling people. He's a trickster.
Would you vote for George W. Bush?
Absolutely.
Why? He's the Antichrist.
I think the guy needs to read his Bible.
Would you vote for George W. Bush?
Absolutely. I hope he's not the Antichrist because then I'm going to vote for the wrong guy.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
The Drew Marshall Show, right here on Joy 1250.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Well, Jason Ilion joins us right now. Gee, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing his last name right. You think I'd do a little more research before we have really big guests on the show. He has recently been in the spotlight as the Virgin on ABC's Bachelorette. And is a sought-after speaker on leadership, relationship, and abstinence issues, and really connects to students, singles, young adults, through his faith, education, work experience, leadership skills. And, of course, he's a college football star, and the abstinence thing is just a big part of the whole deal here. So, folks, welcome to the Drew Marshall Show. Jason, and am I getting it right? Is it Ilion?
Yeah, that's right, Drew. You got it perfect.
Man, I'm so good at this.
Hey, you're a professional.
I'm so good at this. Thanks for joining us. Where are you right now, Jason?
I am in the Lone Star State down here in Texas.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. That's home turf for you, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I went to school at TCU and actually grew up in Arizona, but I came to Texas and after moving around came back, so I just love it down here.
You graduated 98, I think.
I did. I graduated in 98. My last game for football was against the USC Trojans of the Sun Bowl. And then I spent one semester in London, and then I called it a college career.
Well, you've had quite a life, and I would say you'd be Mr. Renaissance Man, right? You've been labeled that before, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, I've been blessed with a lot of opportunities, and my parents always taught me at a young age, just do as much as you can, as hard as you can, as long as you can, and then let God take it from there. And, you know, when you get those opportunities in front of you, I'm just trying to make the best of them.
Okay. All right. How vulnerable, like, can you be? How vulnerable do you want to be on this show?
You know, I've always said just, you know, you ask the question. If you have the guts to ask it, I probably make them have the guts to answer it. So don't you worry about that.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Are you still a virgin?
I am.
Can you imagine if you said no? Like,
yeah. Well, yeah, that'd come across really odd, and you'd probably be like, dang it, I should have done more research.
there must have been something on Google about that somewhere.
Right.
I should have found that out. But, I mean, even if you weren't, like, it's not as though you can come out and say, I'm not a virgin anymore, because you're known as the poster boy for not screwing around.
Yeah, and I don't know how you actually get that title exactly. I'm not sure that's one anybody wants. You know, it's just that... you kept going on. You didn't find the girl of your dreams, so you kept plugging along. And
yeah.
Next thing you know, you're 30 and you haven't had sex yet. So,
did you see the movie, the 40-year-old version? Did you actually see it?
Yeah, I did see it. And, you know, I'd be lying to say there weren't points I didn't just laugh hysterically myself. I mean, when you haven't had sex for 30 years, sometimes if you're not crying, you got to laugh at yourself or something.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
How do you define virgin? Because, you know, someone, like, if you think this through, or I'm sure people don't want to do this, so you may want to actually turn your radio off, folks, but if you think this through, you know, is there different levels of virginity, or are we only talking about sexual intercourse, you know? I mean, where there's the whole Jesus comments about if you've thunk it, you've done it.
Right,
you know,
right.
There's the masturbation issue. I mean, how do you define a virgin?
Yeah, you can slice this by about 1,000 different ways, depending on who you are, and you know, I've always just kind of said, hey, if you haven't had intercourse, if you haven't had sex, and, you know, the people that have always brought up this debate have kind of, that's where they've drawn the line. If you haven't had intercourse, you're a virgin. And to be perfectly honest, the title to me is kind of indifferent. I'm a virgin, but I'm certainly not innocent, meaning, you know, I've made sexual mistakes in the past. Some, you know, and I've been in some good relationships and some bad. And, you know, hopefully the mistakes I have made, people can learn from those, and the rest, the things that I'm doing well, they can learn from that as well.
How far is too far? You know, like, I've grown up working with young adults, with a high school kid. That question, you know, you get asked that once a week. How far is too far? How far can I go?
Yeah, you know, we spend a whole chapter in my new book talking about sexual boundaries. And, you know, for me, really when it comes down to, if you're looking at scripture, it says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. What it means, touch comes from a word meaning to light an uncontrollable fire, an uncontrollable passion. So when you get to a point that it's going to uncontrollably keep running along, and, you know, it doesn't, if you get to a point in a physical relationship where you're just going to keep doing more and more, and you can quote scripture and, you know, say all the prayers you want, but it doesn't matter, you're going to do it anyways, you're out of control. And, you know, I can't speak for all guys, but I think in most guys, when you start, you know, touching each other's sexual parts and doing things like that, you're on a very slippery slope.
Yeah. Yeah. Just had a never mind. Okay.
Yeah. This is the point where there's the awkward silence between the radio DJ and the virgin.
No, I just had too many comments come into my head, and I'd like to keep my job, actually.
Filter.
Yeah, that's it. When I think about that fire scenario, I remember specifically one time lighting a rag on fire that was over a ladder in the back of our garage here in Canada. My dad owned a funeral home, and we had a whole lot of really expensive cars in the garage, and basically the garage caught on fire. I didn't intend for the garage to catch on fire.
Right.
But I, you know, when I first lit that, when I first started playing with it, I never intended for it to get out of control. So someone is going to say, hey, if holding hands, you've heard this before, if holding hands turns your crank, don't hold hands.
Right, right.
Are you on board with that kind of thinking?
Yeah, you know, I always compare it to, you know, draw a line and take a step back. It's kind of the whole concept of the Grand Canyon looks just as beautiful from 10 steps back as it does from the edge, and you're less likely to fall in.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm the guy that crawls over the wall, you know,
right.
past the sign that says don't crawl past this sign. I have to get to the edge, man.
Right, yeah. Well, we all want to push the edge, and that's always the point. Then we all look back and say, man, how did I get here? What happened there? And the reality is we set ourselves up for it.
At the bottom of the Grand Canyon looking up going, how did I get here?
Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe you're gay.
Yeah, that's what my brother said. I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm glad I can get roasted on Canadian radio as well. Thank you, Drew.
But come on, people have said that. Anybody that's 30 years old and a virgin, or you know, all that, the baggage that comes with that goes through people's brains, right?
Absolutely. I mean, when you see the 40-year-old virgin as a movie, the first thing that comes to mind is, okay, it's a guy that can't get in if he wants to. It's a tuba-playing, baseball card-trading, comic book guy, you know, that rides.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, but that's what they imagine. You know, I mean, if you introduced me to me, I would say the same thing. It's the 30-year-old virgin like, oh, yeah, what's up with this clown?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that comes to mind because that's how stereotypical it's become. But,
yeah, he's just batting for the other team and can't come out because he's in the Jesus scene.
Right. Yeah, that's, people say that all the time, and you know, ignorance is bliss, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
You can't reason out of somebody what wasn't reasoned into them, so you let them say their thing.
Yeah. What's the most ignorant, hurtful thing someone has said to you about being a virgin?
It's funny because a lot of people always accuse me. Well, you know, you're doing it for the fame, you're doing it for the publicity, and. You know, first of all, that doesn't make any sense because when guys do things for fame and publicity, they do it to get women.
Right.
So why would I use a virginity thing to do that?
Well, because you're a Christian, and that's not you can't do stuff just to get women.
Right.
You got to do stuff now to sell books and get your name out there because you're a speaker. I mean, I thought that. I thought maybe the guy signed up for this whole package deal because it's a great marketing scheme.
Yeah, well, you know, it was one of those things that you never made it your marketing scheme where you never start out like, well, you know, I'm going to break the world record here in virginity. I want to make it to 50 here. You know, I'm not trying to win a race or break a record. It's just something that it's just been one characteristic of my life. And the irony is of all the other things that I've had the opportunity to do, it always comes back to, oh, so you're a virgin. And you're like, oh, well, never mind that I played college ball or wrote a book or something. Yes, I'm a virgin.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, let's put it this way. It's a characteristic of mine that I'm certainly not ashamed of. And it's not something that on the ABC's The Bachelorette, it showed me getting out of the limo, and the first thing it says is, like, I'm Jason, I'm a virgin. I'm like, what? Whoever says that?
Who says that?
Yeah, like, I never introduced myself as Jason, hey, I'm a virgin. You know? You know, it's what something people have latched on to because it's rare, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a headliner, right? So that's how I promoted you on my show. And
yeah, you and I are talking about it, so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, what do you say to those people who have just been absolutely fighting a losing battle in trying to stay pure? And they've pretty much just given up. Like, I meet a lot of Jesus kids in their 20s who just kind of go, you know what, I wasn't winning the battle, so I just thought, you know, God's forgiving, and I just kind of jumped in.
Right. You know, it's funny because people always think that it's the end game, that once you've lost your virginity, end of game, you can't ever be pure again, God can't forgive you, or he's forgiving, he'll just let it go on and on. But I kind of compare it to, where are you trying to go here? Like, what's your destination? Do you really want to have a godly woman who you want to respect and live your life and have a life of discipline? If that's what you want, why are you driving the other direction? It doesn't matter how far you drive the other direction, it's not going to take you that way if you're going the wrong direction. And at some point, you got to turn around and go back, even if it takes you time to learn that self-discipline again. And, you know, I can speak from my own personal life. As you know, I was walking down the wrong road for a long time, got engaged, had a broken engagement, you know, crushed my heart. And it's because I was walking the wrong way and saying, well, you know, God will forgive this, God will forgive that. Okay, so she doesn't really love the Lord, but she's Christian in name and she goes to church. That's enough. And, you know, my life just crashed, and it took me a while to walk back to square one again and start again. And it's never too late to start again. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to just be physical. I mean, it can be emotional or intellectual, or you're never going to walk out of God's grace. It doesn't matter how far you walk. So we all just need to we need to stop for a moment, take a long, deep breath, and look and say, Lord, what really do you want for me? And let me go that way, regardless of what the cost is to me.
We are on the phone with Jason Illion, who is the author of a number of books, but primarily today we're talking about Undressed, The Naked Truth About Love, Sex, and Dating. And, well, he came into everybody's homes and living rooms and television sets when he was on The Bachelorette. Was that a couple of years ago now?
Yeah, I guess it was about almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. It kind of sounds scary when you say it like that. He came into their houses. The virgin came into their houses.
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
It is. But.
It's a bit. Now, speaking of weird reactions to the whole thing, did you take much heat from the Jesus people about even going on The Bachelorette? Like, how can you call yourself a Christian and be on this show?
Yeah, it's so funny that you brought that up, because when Christians first found out I was on the show, like, I almost lost speaking gigs, because they're like, well, how can a Christian go on the show? Hmm. And then after the show airs, of course, then they all accepted me. It's like, yeah, look how he stood up for us. I was like, well, nothing changed between the time that it came out and there. You just quickly judge the fact that I was, you know, a complete numbskull. And I'm just like, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, when you're running into battle, you don't expect to get shot from behind.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's really what happened. The fiery arrows came from my own team.
Yeah.
Instead of really just trusting the fact that this is where God had called me into it. And I never planned to go on this. I never planned to make a point on national television. It just kind of happened.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob Dylan was one of the first people to experience those bullets.
Yeah.
From the Christian scene. So you thought quarterback and bachelor Jesse Palmer was a bit of a skanky hoe.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you used those words so I didn't have to, Drew. Thanks.
I get tired of waking up every morning with a different girl, not knowing her name or where I am.
Yeah, that's what he said the time that I turned on the television and saw him. And I was like, where do they find these idiots? And I was thinking to myself, I'd never do a show like this. You know, and that's what I was telling my buddy the next day about seeing Jesse on TV and, you know, what a foolish remark he made. And he kind of challenged me. He's like, well, if you think you can do better, why don't you send your application in? You know, the male ego and pride.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, well, maybe I will. That was, you know, famous last words, right? And so I sent it in, and, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later I got a call from the producers. And you know, I tried to get out of it first. I'm like, you know, I'm really not set for the show. I'd kind of come back to my senses and said, this is not going to be for me. And they're like, well, just talk through. You know, there's many interview rounds. You can bail out at any moment if you want to. And next thing I know, I'm getting off a plane in New York going, what in the world have I gotten myself into?
No, come on. See, there's the part I don't buy into, man. Seriously. Jason, you're going to be on this big honking, you know, television show. And you're seriously thinking, what am I doing here? I need to run. There must have been a part of you that you were stoked. You gotta have been stoked to be on the show.
Yeah, well, it's different though. This is not TV. This is reality TV. Meaning, for every 100 hours of film that we do, you see 40 minutes. So,
but you know, seriously, when it comes to the phrase reality TV, to me, that's an oxymoron.
Oh, exactly.
That's not reality.
No, it's guided for sure, and that's the scary part about it. If it was just TV and this thing was scripted, or if I knew they were really going to show my true colors and who I was,
there's
nothing to be worried about then. But when you, I mean, we said this earlier, Christians are already shooting at me before I'm ever moving, and, you know, I can go on this show and they can paint me any color they want to. That's a little scary. And, you know, I had a business of speaking and writing before I went on the show, too, and you're like, well, you know, what does that look like if they paint me in a bad color? Am I going to be, you know, serving fries and, you know, asking if you want a caramel macchiato with your muffin? I mean, what happens?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's not, but that's not what I was prepared to do.
Okay, I mean, you were actually going on this show as a Jesus guy to see if this woman might be the one? I mean, what about the whole unequally yoke thing or whatever, you know? I know you were there to show love as opposed to finding it. I've read that quote a million times.
Right, right.
But if you were the last guy standing and Jennifer had actually picked you, what were we going to say? Sorry, Jen, I was just here to show you what real love is, but now I don't really love you?
You think Jen would have actually picked me?
No, but if she had, I mean, that's the whole point, right?
Well, yeah, that is the point, but it's, you know, dating works like that where both people get a chance to back out if they know they're not the one. I mean, if Jen hadn't cut me, I would have certainly backed out at some point.
Would you have, do you think you would have, like, rejected a rose or whatever? If you got down to the last, I don't know, six or seven, or I don't know how the whole show works, but...
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would have walked away had she not rejected me, but, you know, after sitting there and talking to her for a couple minutes and realizing, you know, that our value systems were on two different planes completely...
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a matter of time. I mean, having the conversation of saying, you know, I'm not going to be that intimate except with my wife, that was pretty much just nailing my own coffin right there. You know, I was giving her reason to say, okay, I'm going to cut this guy loose from the island.
Yeah. Well, some girls like the challenge, though, right? I mean, I would say most women, there's a challenge aspect in marrying a man. So what better challenge than to say, oh, I'll change that.
Right, yeah. But, you know, I think that's a guy's approach more than a girl's approach, especially the physical. There's kind of a double standard. When a girl's a virgin, guys see her as fresh meat.
Right.
A lot of guys do.
Yeah.
But when a guy's a virgin, girls kind of like, oh, how sweet. That's nice. I wish my guy would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, I still like you as a friend, not as my man.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Did you feel any connection at all with Jen?
No, I really didn't. Actually... you know, a normal conversation that we're having is like, you serve, I volley back to you.
Yeah.
It was like, I serve, and the ball went doop, 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 doop. And I'm like, okay, try this again. Here we go. You know? I mean, it was the most brutal conversation ever. You know? Just because there was no... I was like, so what do you like to do? And she's like, shopping. I just want to say, somebody cut the film. This is ridiculous. You know? Like, no wonder there's no sharp instruments. They don't want me to end it all here.
Oh, man.
Painful.
I hadn't developed any deep, intimate feelings for Jen yet. Let's be honest here. The cameras aren't on. How likely is it for anybody to fall madly, deeply, wholeheartedly, and passionately in love with someone in 6 weeks? It's possible, just not probable.
Yeah,
Sure. That came out of your brain. You still feel that way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can have a connection with somebody in 6 weeks, but it's the seasons of life that really prove whether or not you're going to walk out of life with them. And you just can't run. You can't put all four seasons of life into 6 weeks. It's not. I mean, you can try to cram it in there, but you're taking one heck of a risk. And you know, there's a fine line between faith and insanity, and you're testing it by trying to cram it into 6 weeks.
Boy, you are a communicator, man. You've dropped so many nuggets. It's classic. Classic. There was the potential that they weren't going to portray you accurately. Do you think they did a good job, or did they kind of slant it in a weird way, other than the whole virgin thing?
You know, I think they did a decent job. You know, I got to give them a little bit of credit just because how do you portray 25 guys in a, you know, a 60-minute show accurately?
Yeah.
It can't be completely easy to do. So I don't want to completely toss them under the bus. Maybe just keep them halfway under the bus.
Yeah.
Where, you know, yeah, they did say some things right about me, about what I am a speaker, I am a writer. I never lead with kind of my sexual conquest or lack thereof. But at the same time, you know, for them, that was a selling point because it's what differentiated me from a lot of the other guys in the group. And, you know, there were some talented professional guys. There were some good-looking guys, some guys that a lot of ladies would love to have. So all that, I'm not going to split hairs with them over that.
No.
It was okay.
No, exactly. One thing, like, again, I'm not a huge follower of any reality TV shows because, I don't want to get sucked in because I don't have the time to watch something week after week.
You'd rather pierce your nipples than watch reality.
You got it, buddy. And I know that reality TV is just an oxymoron to me, so I don't buy into that at all. I've been behind the scenes of too much stuff to see how they do this.
Absolutely.
But one thing I would like to know, do they film the guy? Because you all sleep together, sort of, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You're all in the same room. You're all kind of, like, you got maybe two or three roommates, do you? Or how does it work? One roommate?
Yeah, well, you know, when they used to do it in California and L.A., you're in this big mansion, but when you go to New York, there's just not as much room.
Right.
So we're in this brownstone where there's like 9 of us in this one room.
Oh.
You know, it looks like on camera like it's really cool and big.
Yeah.
No, it's like sleeping in a closet.
Okay, well, this is where I'm going to in this one. Then the guy, I want all the women just to turn their ears off here. This is just between us guys. The reality is 9 guys in one room, sleeping there during the night, being there during the day. Guys seem to have a fascination with flatulation.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't see any of that on the show.
Yeah, I think guys were nervous the camera might actually catch them. I mean, you really do not want to just, you know, fart right on national television. It doesn't matter how you play it off. It's going to come off poorly.
Oh, my goodness.
I
got to recover from that. Never thought I'd ask someone about farting on my show. But
it's true, though. You put guys together. I don't know why that's like a big thing
sure.
for guys, but it is.
It's just the deal. I mean, it's just the reality. Are you still in contact with Jen or any of the guys?
I'm not in contact with Jen. I mean, when I left the show, that was the last time I actually saw her.
Did she end up marrying the guy she landed with, or?
No, here's the irony of it all. The guy she chose, by the time they got the reunion episode, they weren't even together anymore. And here's why. And here's what ABC doesn't tell you, is the reason that they just kind of said, well, it didn't work out. But really what happened is the guy she chose was sleeping with other girls, and she was sleeping with him. And she found out.
Right. I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Well, hello. You set up the whole show for this to happen.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time.
Oh, man. So how about any of the other guys from the show? Did you become buds with any of them? JP or Ben or...
Yeah, I do keep in contact with a handful of them. I keep in contact with Josh. I talk to Ben and JP. JP is just about an hour north of me. Ben's in D.C. and Josh out there in L.A., San Diego. So there's a handful of them we still talk to. It's kind of like maybe a really bad analogy here, but when you know you go to war and you're all in the trenches together,
yeah.
You kind of become friends no matter where you're from.
Yep, I got it. What about the Incredible Hulk?
Oh, he's great. Mike? That is... First of all, if girls are looking for a guy, Mike is the nicest guy. I mean, he's as big as an oak. I mean, the man is humongous. But he's the nicest guy, the most loving heart. On top of that, the man can cook. I mean, like, he cooked for us, like, every day in the house, and I was so thankful for that because I thought we were all going to starve in there. So
you're all living off ding-dongs, ho-hos, and Pop-Tarts.
Well, if you opened our fridge, all they gave us was, like, liquor. I mean, all there was like beer and wine. Guys started drinking. One morning, we went to bed at like 4 o'clock every morning, Drew. This is the part they don't tell you. Like, you go to bed at 4, and then at 10 o'clock or 9 or 10 every morning, your bedroom has this institutional lighting, so it's like sleeping in a tanning bed. This stuff comes on, and all of a sudden you're like, "Ah, oh, what the?" You know, you're getting scorched. So, like 10 o'clock, we get up. We slept for 4, 5, 6 hours. And I went upstairs one morning, and it's literally like 10 o'clock in the morning. One of the guys goes, "Hand me a beer." And I'm like, "Dude, we're going to be up for 18 hours, and you want a beer at 10 o'clock in the morning."
Yeah, that's just not right.
No.
That's not right. Mind you, it's a good thing to get rid of that morning breath. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I just don't think Budweiser is the best way to do that.
Maybe Colgate? I don't know.
Yeah.
Would you do it again?
No.
Would you go on any reality show again? Like, come on, it's good exposure. You're a speaker. You're an author.
Yeah, but, you know, like you said, you've been behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, once you've seen it, there's no need to. I mean, the ignorance that the first time I went on made it okay.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of like college football, in 2-a-days, you know, if you knew what you had to go through, you couldn't do it.
No.
Since you don't know, you can survive. And it's now that I know, I watched too much happen. Too many bad things were edited and cut for a bunch of the different guys. I was very fortunate and blessed to make it through the system.
Yeah.
In such a way that I wasn't just, you know, completely annihilated. So we're going to call it a win and go from there.
Good. Good stuff. On the phone with Jason Illion, our guest today on the Drew Marshall Show. And Jason, of course, is the author of Undressed, The Naked Truth About Love, Sex, and Dating. His website, jasonillion.com. And everyone's talking about his time on The Bachelorette because these shows are big. And even though they sleep deprive the women so they look like psychotic junkies by the third day, then it's okay. It's okay. How did your family and friends feel about you being on the show? Like your brothers, Travis and Ben, they must have had enough ammunition to pummel you for a lifetime.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's I certainly get roasted all the time. There's a couple videos out on YouTube One of them is my brother. It says MTV Cribs, and it's actually my brother broke into my house and acted like he was doing MTV Cribs, and so they put up like a Lizzie McGuire poster, and you know, there's this Clay Aiken picture that says, "Jason, quit calling." You know, I mean, people just were laughing hysterically. So, you know, my brothers get roasted. They put all these videos up. I mean, I get roasted all the time. But that's what guys do. That's how I know they love me, is that they, you know, they're willing to take jabs at me and shots. And so,
but your parents must have thought you're nuts, because they're Jesus people, right? Didn't you grow up in a God home?
Yeah. You know, I grew up with great Christian parents, and you know, the thing about my household is we're probably more like the Simpsons and the Cleavers, really, to be honest. But we've stuck together through everything.
Right.
And you know, my mom's always known that the path less traveled is usually the one God takes you down when He's going to do something. And when I told her, I was like, "Listen, you know, they want me to go on this show," she just kind of shook her head sideways, like unbelievable, and said, "Well, you know, if you're going to go out there, at least have an impact, do something." And you know, they're always supportive of things, especially when they think it aligns with my values. So they still thought I was nuts, though.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you guys are living in the buckle down there, aren't you? I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. Everybody down in Texas, we're all Christians, and we're all Republicans, and, you know, and we're Christians for the same reason, Republicans, because our parents were.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a... a learning experience.
Yeah, incestuous Christianity. I don't want to be adored by millions of women. I just want to be loved by one. Okay, if I was single today, that would be my number one line. Like, did the girls and the stalkers just come out of the woodwork when you released that one?
You know, the stalkers came out of the woodwork, you know, when I got on the show. Before I'd even told anybody I was on the show, you know, ABC started running commercials. And the very first commercial they showed on TV was showing some guy get out of a limo. Well, that was me. And so the very first night that they started showing commercials, my phone just lit up like a Christmas tree. And I was like, oh, no, it's already started. And, you know, the night that they kicked me off the show, I probably got 3,000 email.
You're kidding.
No, I mean, they were coming faster than I can read them. And, in fact, I don't even think I read them all. I think some of them just were just like, this is ridiculous.
Were there any... choice pickings there at all, or?
You know, I'll be honest with you, most of them were just kind of like, you're so great, they shouldn't have kicked you off the show, I'm in Ohio, and I'm in Tennessee, or I'd be happy to fly out and meet you, or...
Yeah.
And you're just like, whoa.
Did you get any real psychotic ones, though?
You know, you got a couple of them where, you know, they just wrote time and time and time again, which makes you a little nervous, and...
Yeah.
You know, once they, it's interesting, once people start searching for you on the internet, they can find about everything about you somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like my old cell phone number started floating, and so I had to change my cell phone number. And
oh, you were in Paris Hilton's cell phone, were you?
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to put it like that, but now I should bring it up, Drew.
Can you imagine that? Paris Hilton losing her cell phone, and everybody's phone number goes across the internet. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you let Paris have your number, that's to be expected. I mean, I'm not. You know, I'd rather be trapped under a cement truck. You know.
Hold on, doesn't it say on your blog something about, will somebody please slap Paris Hilton or something like that?
Yeah, on my MySpace, the title is, somebody slap Paris for me.
You kill me. What do you really do in life? Like, who are you? You can't be just, it's like someone saying I'm a consultant. I mean, you can't be just a speaker guy, can you? Is that what you do?
Well, you know, right now I'm spending most of my time just writing and speaking, yeah. I mean, I have my book that comes out tomorrow or Monday, and...
Undress, the Naked Truth About Love, Sex, and Dating.
Yep, that comes out with Warner Faith on Monday, and so I've been writing and speaking, and, you know, it's kind of one of those things, when you're going to be choosy about what you want to do and things have to align with your values, there's just certain things you can't do in the entertainment world.
Yeah.
So sometimes people say, hey, well, let's try this, or let's do that, or let's go try to do on this show. I'm like, dude, that's just a clown act. Why do we want to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, good for you. Jason Illion, I've got to ask you this question. I mean, you're the one to ask this question, all right?
Okay.
Brian Duncan has written a song about everything I know about love, and the second verse is instrumental. Can you ever really know if that person is the one? Isn't it just a crapshoot? Seriously.
No, you know, I'm glad you said this, because people always told me, like, well, when you fall in love, you'll know that you know that you know. And I said, well, that's just a bunch of crap. I mean, who said that? I mean, how does that help you? And what I've learned, and I can tell you because I'm in love right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. So I'll tell you what the problem is. It's not that you know. It's that you never not know. You never have to ask the question because it's always right. And so you don't ever have to stop and say, well, I wonder if he's the one because of this or he does this. When you're in love, it just fits like a glove, and so you never not know. You never have to stop and have a come-to-Jesus moment because you've been walking with him the whole time. And it changes the way you look at things completely, and I know because I've done it wrong, and so doing it right just makes all the difference.
How long have you had the butterflies for?
Oh, geez. Well, I'm proposing this next week.
Oh, get out of here.
No, I'm serious, man.
Folks.
My days of virginity are coming to an end, brother.
Can I get an amen?
Can I get an amen from the crowd?
Oh, my God. This is breaking news.
Yeah.
Breaking news. You are now, does she know you're going to be proposing?
Well, she knows it's coming sometime, but I don't think she knows it's nearly as soon as it is.
Wow. Wow. How did you pick out the ring? And is there a ring involved? And did she did go with you? Or are you just going to wing this on your own and pretend that she likes the solitaire? I mean, how's it going to go down?
Yeah, I picked out the ring on my own, of course. I've been dating her for over a year. And, you know, when we started getting serious, of course, we walked by some jewelry stores and like, so what do you like? And so I got a feeling and a sense. And, you know, I think I know her well enough to kind of know what her style is. And so I had the ring designed and made. And, you know, it's in my possession as we speak.
Jason, are you gun shy that she's gonna yank the mat out from underneath you like before?
Hey, let me tell you this. I've learned one thing is if you're gun shy about this, I wasn't gun shy the first time. I mean, I should have been. But I wasn't, because I was doing things completely wrong at the time. But if you're gun shy about her saying yes, then you shouldn't ask, first of all. If you don't know the answer is going to be yes, don't be asking somebody's hands in marriage.
Right.
But I am, you know, I'm so calm. I love this girl.
Should Christians have a short engagement so that they don't have sex before marriage?
I would recommend it. I mean, mine's going to be short.
Like how long?
Probably 3 months, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. See, to me, that's smart.
That's about as long as this human body can handle, I think.
Well, yeah, when you've crossed that, you know, when you start to hit the ball and you're starting to run to first base.
I don't see the need for a long engagement. It's just setting yourself up to, you know, for more failure and for frustration. I mean, most of us are somewhat sexually frustrated anyways if we're trying to do it, right?
So. Yeah, yeah. Jason Illion, ex-bachelorette. No, ex-bachelor. No, what are you? I don't know.
I was on a show.
You were on a television show, and people thought you were hot and stalked you. So that that works. One thing I've always said is if we're living in a sexually saturated society, and we're Jesus people, and we're parents, and we're trying to raise our kids, and we're also saying, hey, you know what? You may not want to get married before you're 22 because most people are just stupid then anyway. So let's wait longer to get married. We're living in a sexually saturated society, and as Christians, we ain't supposed to be doing the funky chicken before marriage.
Right.
Then should we be giving our kids birth control?
Oh, no. I mean, of course not. I mean, it's the whole thing of should we give our kids birth control and condoms? No, we're just giving them the opportunity. Now, I'm also not on the other side of the spectrum either where we don't talk about this subject. Because one of the big bangs against the abstinent movement right now is and the big bang that was pun intended there is it's that we don't talk about sex, we don't educate them. You know, we just want us to come out there and say don't have sex and walk away. And you know, there are certain pockets that's been taught. I mean, the reason that I have a job speaking all over the country anyways is because there's a lot of places that don't want to speak as freely as you and I are right now about sex.
Honestly, does it blow you away that we're being this open and honest on a Jesus station?
Yeah, it just doesn't happen.
Down in your neck of the woods, this wouldn't happen?
Oh, no. I mean, I'd say the Bible Belt sometimes is the worst. They'll say, like, okay, we're going to talk about sex, but it's very 10,000-foot, quoting a little bit of Scripture, but not really saying blowjob or sex or really dealing with the issues that are at hand.
Yeah.
And unless you deal with the issues at hand, real issues, don't expect to get real answers.
Yeah, good point. I really admire what those guys are doing, Craig Gross and the boys at Triple X Church.
Oh, yeah.
Have you hooked up with those guys at all?
You know, I haven't met those guys personally. We have some mutual friends, but we haven't talked one-on-one. I've seen their material, and I know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And, hey, you know, they got props for me anytime they're going to put their neck out there.
Next week on our show, folks, we'll be speaking with one of the... Well, I'm not sure how big of a porn producer he was, but he's just recently surrendered his life to Christ and has said, I'm getting out of the porn business because of XXXChurch.com. So he'll be on our show next week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting story. MySpace, what do I need to know as a dad?
Oh, MySpace can either be exceptionally good or exceptionally bad. You know, I think the biggest problem that what's happened with MySpace is everybody's jumped on the panic button. So instead of actually learning about what it's about, is what we're doing is we're just so fearful that we're trying to yank kids off. And MySpace can be bad, but you also got to understand that if MySpace disappears, a bigger, stronger, more powerful older brother is going to take its place in the social networking community here. So, yeah, I mean, we certainly have to be careful with our kids about putting out their personal and, you know, any information about them that locates where they are, who they are, things like that, and monitor it. But that's no different from the Internet. Hmm. You shouldn't just let your kids roam wild on the Internet either. The families that I know are doing it well is, you know, it's an open house policy, meaning that parents can look over their shoulder at any time.
Jason, what was the name of your book that you wrote about MySpace?
Yeah, it's called MySpace and My Kids, A Parent's Guide to Navigating MySpace.com.
And people can get this book as well on your website?
Actually, that book comes out in February. We're in the final stages of editing right now.
I am so, seriously, like, I don't get too excited about authors because I'm too ADD to sit down and read for too long.
We're a strange bunch anyway, so.
Oh, my goodness. But you've got some stuff here. Like, these two books, I am so waiting to get my hands on. Undress, The Naked Truth About Love, Sex, and Dating, and MySpace. What's the rest of the title again?
It says MySpace and My Kids, A Parent's Guide to Navigating MySpace.com.
My goodness. Jason, just wanted to drop you a note to say thanks. Your faith and convictions have been a real inspiration to me. In college, I spent most of the time drinking, chasing girls, and goofing around. Everyone was doing it, and it seemed like the thing to do. But you were different. You were always focused and always faithful. It took a while, but it finally rubbed off. Believe it or not, I turned my life around after school, and now I'm a youth pastor. Thanks for helping me find my way. I'll be forever grateful.
Came from one of my buddies that I played ball with. You know, you never know what your life's going to have an impact on other people. And, you know, when you're playing college football, just like in a lot of other pockets, there's a lot of other debauchery and drinking and other things that go on around you. And instead of just, you know, getting up on my soapbox and pounding it into them, I just lived my life and kind of had an open door policy if guys wanted to talk about something they could. And this one of my buddies that who was a wild child in college emailed me not too long ago and told me he was a youth pastor.
Man.
And just thanked me for living a life that I did. And, you know, I didn't even think I was doing anything. It's just following God how he wanted me to.
That's got to pump you up, you know. All those years of trying to be faithful, trying to be pure, trying to walk the path God wants you to walk, and putting up with a lot of garbage from people, and then you get an email like that?
Yeah, you know, that's the good stuff. That's why we do what we do. And I think God drops those nuggets to you when you need them the most, just when you're about to throw in the towel and say, okay, this isn't worth it. I'm taking the beating of a lifetime. And then you get an email saying, you know, what you're doing means something. And, you know, God knows when we need that encouragement. And, you know, and it doesn't matter what type of job you have, whether you're in a corporation or whether you're doing construction or, you know, whether you're hosting a radio talk show, right? There's times where you're just like, are we doing anything here?
Yeah.
And when you get an email like that, you're quickly reminded of the impact one life, your life, can have on other people.
Is Tyra Banks as gorgeous as I think she is?
No, she's not. I'm being honest with you here. No, I'm telling you right now, Drew, you'd be disappointed, brother. You know, I'm not going to tell you a lie now.
Oh.
That was a brutal show to be on. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Oh, it's just that we're out there on the show and nothing that we prepped actually happened on the show. You know how Oprah, when she's talking to somebody, it's like she's listening and looking at you? You didn't get any of that. Ty was reading right off the note cards, and I'm thinking, dude, that's like 10 words you got to say. You don't need to read the note cards for that. You know, it was just, it wasn't pretty.
No.
It wasn't pretty.
No. Okay, thanks. I appreciate that because I just, yeah, okay, I'm backing away from that one.
Yeah, you can check that off your list, Drew. It's not one of those things that should be high up there.
Okay. Oh, man. All right, well, listen, it's been a slice talking with you. It really has. When we come back from our break, folks, I'm actually going to read something on the air. The Day I Lost Friends and Found Faith is an article that I found written by Jason Elliott, this gentleman right here. And you and I are so aligned in our thinking here that it's scary. And I just couldn't write something as clear and as concisely as you have.
What a tremendous
article, man.
Well, thanks. I don't know if you want to align yourself with me. That means you'll be the second one they throw into the goofy house when it happens. But as long as you're okay with that.
Yeah, I'm quite okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah, and folks, seriously, you got to stay tuned for this. This is just a phenomenal article. Not since the writings of Mike Iaconelli and Donald Miller will you come across something so refreshingly different. Really,
well,
that's
you.
The deal. That's the deal. Jason, I appreciate you spending some time with us, and I look forward to getting my hands on these books. And folks, again, the website is jasonillian.com. That's ILLIAN.com. And the two books you want to keep your eyes out here for, Undressed, The Naked Truth About Love, Sex, and Dating. The other one, My Space and My Kids. So thanks, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you. Give me a call anytime, buddy.
All right. You take care.
Okay.
See you, Jason. Good guy. It's nice to be able to shoot straight with people about things like love, sex, and dating. A short break on the show. When we come back, an amazing article written by Jason Illion. I want to read this to you. Very, very well done. And then we'll get into some talkback subjects with you folks. The number is 905-338-1250. Do you think that virgins are more laughed at or respected these days? When we come back, stay with us.
Want to find out who's on The Drew Marshall Show next week? Sign up for our weekly email updates online at drewmarshall.ca.